This is Dave Garrick with Atlas Screen Supply.
David Gross with Condi Systems.
Hello, this is Jimmy Lamb with Sawgrass.
This is Lon Winters with Graphic Elephants.
And you're listening to Two Regular Guys
Podcast.
Podcast. Hosted by Aaron Montgomery
and Terry Combs. Coming to you live from a condemned outhouse on the wrong side of the tracks. Somewhere dark, dirty, and dank. All right. Well, welcome to the show. It is Friday, April 24th, 2020. I'm Terry Combs, and you find me at terrycombs.com. I'm the guy who was talking over the intro.
This is the first time for my new co-host here, Terry Combs. Welcome in. My name's Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at rsuccessgroup.com. Today, Terry and I are going to be continuing our discussion about the landscape of a post-pandemic decorators community. So post-apocalypse, right? Is that something like that?
Zombie apocalypse. I've been preparing for this for 12 seasons of Walking Dead. So
There you go.
Anybody needs advice, I got it.
And he's got a yellow legal pad and he's all ready. So
I do. Right here.
There we go. Nice. So today's discussion is going to be a good one. We actually started this 2 weeks ago before the Women in Garment Decorating group. And we were like, oh boy, do we have enough here? And we kept adding stuff. And you guys showed up like rock stars as usual. The regulators were in rock star format. And we barely got halfway through it. So we'll see how we do today. This could turn into a three-parter. And but we've got some people checking in here. We've got Wade checking in. And Todd, good morning. And Ray Weiss from SGIA. It's good to see you too, sir. So thanks for joining us. Cindy King says, good morning. Hope y'all have a great show. Me too, Terry. I hope we have a great show.
I do too. Yeah.
And Rich and Richard and Eric in the comments as usual. So thank you very much, Eric, for all of the things that you do to make this a wonderful show. Sorry about our rough start there.
I was expecting a little bit of a countdown into that. I was jokingly saying I'm testing my chair because the regulators, I oiled my chair after about a year of conversation about it. I took it about 8 steps through the sliding doors here and oiled it, and then I brought it back in.
Indeed. So
it was a long time coming.
But hey, you know, we got to get the show started on time, Terry. We run a tight ship around here. So, all right. Well, let's talk a couple of news things before we do dive in here, though, Terry. So SGIA, Amanda over at SGIA, and I've seen all the emails and stuff. In fact, Pete Lovelace had sent us a note on Instagram. So they're pretty excited about this opportunity, and it seems like a good one. So SGIA announced a new apparel decorators town hall that's going to be happening next Wednesday, April 29th. It's free, and they're planning to do more in the series, but put this Facebook Live event together to equip those in the current uncertainty with COVID-19 with some extra resources to help their businesses. SGIA's Apparel Decorators Committee is committed to keeping the apparel community up to date on COVID-19 during these uncertain times. Join SGIA as moderators will be Apparel Decorator Committee member Pete Lovelace, General Manager of Booster Spiritwear, and also the guy that talked me into the whole confetti cannon thing.
Right. He is to blame for that.
Expert panel. I'm never going to get Andy's name right, but Andy Paparazzi, I'm going to go with, who's the chief economist. Can't even say economist at SGIA. Marcy Kittner. Geez, see. You give me the names. I like that too. Very, that's funny.
I was actually thinking about that as I was putting it into the outline.
This will be hilarious. Right. So Marcy Kittner, who's the vice president of government affairs at SGIA. Adrian Harrison, we'll go with that. Vice president of human relations at the Printing Industry of Americas. And Lisbeth Lyons, vice president in government and external affairs at the Printing Industries of America. So check that out. Assuming you head over to the SGIA's webpage, I don't have the link in front of me right now. So
I'm sure you can go to sgia.org and it'll be listed there among their events.
Yeah, and we'll get it into the show notes as well once we get that, and I'm sure we'll find it here. And
I'm sure Eric is feverishly searching the internet right now for it.
Thank you, Eric. All right, so that's happening. Definitely going to check that out. Looking forward to that on Wednesday, April 29th, and so there we go. Head over to sja.org to find more information until then. So good stuff there. Also, we will be firing up the virtual cocktail party once more for the third time. So we're pretty excited about that. Decorators Community Virtual Cocktail Party. We can't do it every week. I don't think we could survive said fun, but we are going to try to do it every other week if we can. So Friday, May 1st, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. If you head over to tworegularguys.com/party, you can get all signed up there. And it is BYOB. I've tried to figure out a way to get Terry to buy us all cocktails, but I have not. I'm not sorted that out. So Todd says third time's a charm.
last time we encouraged everybody to go out and get appetizers from your favorite local establishment. And I certainly did that. I had some wings, had some sliders, things like that from my local sports bar, Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. So
yeah, that's a great idea.
Do something like that again. And let's support our local communities. You know, actually when I was picking my things up at Cold Beers, I asked the manager how things are going. And he said, you know what, we've started hiring back some staff because people are really coming out and supporting us. And I thought, well, that's great news. Great to hear. So
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. And I've been doing the same thing. You know, as soon as we're done here, I don't need the cinnamon roll, but I want the cinnamon roll. So up the street, my local coffee shop, Upshot Coffee here, and they have wonderful cinnamon rolls as well. So I'm going to be heading up there after we're done today. So yes, get out there and support your local. And that's a great idea, Terry. Let's do that again. Bring your own appetizers. In fact, last time, if you stayed to the end, Janessa actually got not only pizza, but pizza and fries. I never thought of that combo.
Me neither.
and I honestly went right over my head until Todd brought it up yesterday too. And I'm like, that does sound like a good combo. So maybe I have to figure that out too.
Yeah, she ordered pizza during the event and had it delivered and ate it right there on camera.
Yeah. So the delicious stuff, bring your food, but bring, you know, it doesn't, if you don't drink, it's no big deal. You're still welcome to come, bring your water, bring whatever, you know, bring your moonshine. If you're Todd, I may just have a Captain and Coke. Well, who knows? So it's going to be a blast again. So we'll see you over there again, tworegularguys.com/party. But Terry, what do you have up on your side of the world over there?
the deadline for the 2021 Speakers at Impressions Expo, the sponsor of this show, they've extended the deadline to get your seminar ideas in to May 1st. And I'm sure you can find that at impressionsexpo.com. So if you want to be a speaker next year, you still have time to join in and be one of those folks that hangs around the speakers lounge with me and Aaron and Eric. So I spoke yesterday with Katie from NBM. And she's telling me that they are now attempting to move their June 11th through 13th Indianapolis show. And that is their big show, BIG show. And they're trying to move that to a date in July. She said that she'll let me know what that date will be. They're trying to determine if it's going to be a 2-day or a 3-day show. But they're not feeling that June is going to cut it. So going to try to go to July with that one, and we will stay on top of this all these changes and events and let everybody know. I spoke with Marcia Derryberry with Impressions and Impressions Expo yesterday as well, and she said they've streamlined all their social sites into one called Impressions Group, and she says they're loading editorial content nearly every single day to keep decorators informed and learning new things in addition to important Impressions Expo information about their upcoming events as well. I checked in to find out if any changes to their schedule. And as of right now, they are on track with a schedule according to ImpressionsExpo.com website.
Excellent. Okay. One thing I forgot to put in the outline there, Terry, that just came to mind too, as you were talking, Graphics Pro will be coming out soon. That combination of the A&E printware, and I can't remember the third magazine.
Sign magazine, right?
Yeah, I think so, something like that. So it's a combination of all three of the MDM's magazine into one that they're calling Graphics Pro. So that should be coming out here relatively soon. I think May is the first. I can't remember.
I think it is May, but soon. So
yeah, very soon.
Keep an eye out for that.
I have my first article. I'm going to be a columnist for that. So
super cool.
Having that first one come out, and had been doing that with the folks over at A&E, and so appreciate them picking me up over at Graphics Pro too. So let's see here, a couple of quick comments before we get to what everybody really came for, is the dad jokes. Dotone Dan joining us, welcome in, Dan. And let's see here, one more quick announcement from Marshall here. Tom and I, when he says I, Marshall, Tom and Marshall decided to move ShirtLab Dallas to March 19th, 2021. Look for more details to follow. ShirtLab Dallas will be next year too, but still coordinating the date, looking at June or August. So
I think Dallas is close enough for us to road trip there. What do you think? We can, your wife can make up a batch of cookies, and we can hop in my Honda and drive to Dallas. What do you?
Yeah. You got to stuff Eric in the back too. But
yeah, the two tallest guys get to sit in the back seat of the old Honda Accord.
I'm going to say probably the two tallest guys in the industry too.
That's probably true.
I can't think of anybody. Yeah, well, Marshall, Eric, is there anybody that you guys have ever had to actually look up towards? So, all right, let's get to, again, what everybody's tuned in for in 2020 here, Terry. It's the dad jokes.
You know, Aaron, and this is, I did my first one last week, and here I am doing another one this week.
I'm proud of you.
You ready?
Yeah.
What did the fish say when it ran into a concrete wall?
I don't know, Terry. What did the fish say?
Damn.
When I saw that in the outline, it made me laugh a lot. So, and it's still making me laugh a lot. That is awesome. All right. Well, good stuff there. Thank you, Terry. High five. Nice job.
All right. Hey, before we dive in, Aaron, we want to thank everyone for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. If you are listening to the podcast version right now, we would appreciate you sharing with your friends so they can be regulators too. Plus, we would love and appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to the show right now. If we are always looking for new guests, and if you or anyone would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2 regular guys, and share your idea, and we might be able to get you on the show. If you are watching us live right now on Facebook, join in with your comments and questions. Reach out to your industry friends and have them join us right now too. And we're really counting on you guys again this week to throw out your questions and your comments about the landscape after the apocalypse. So
yeah, indeed. Regulators unite or something like that. I don't know. All right. Well, let's hear a word from our platinum sponsor, the Impression Expo. They are doing a lot of great things to keep things going. So let's hear a word from them. What is Impressions Expo? Impressions Expo, formerly known as ISS, is the premier trade show dedicated to the imprinted and decorated apparel industry. They have five shows that are produced annually in each region of the United States, including Long Beach, California, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Orlando, Florida, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and cap off the year at Fort Worth, Texas. Each of those five annual shows also feature over 30 seminars and hands-on workshops in categories such as screen printing, embroidery, digitizing, digital decorating, and much, much more. Visit impressionsexpo.com for more details. And while there, use the promo code regularguysIE for a free expo pass. Again, make sure you visit impressionsexpo.com to get more details. And the Two Regular Guys look forward to seeing you there. All right. Thank you very much to the Impressions Expo. And again, all those things are changing and ever changing. So We've talked. They're just so busy over there. I haven't been able to get anything new from them yet. But hey, we're supporting them. So again, go over to impressionsexpo.com and tell them the two regular guys sent you. And we appreciate their support of our program here.
You know, Aaron, I also spoke with Josh from Impressions Expo yesterday, and as the show director, I believe would be his title. And he said they do have some things in the works that they're going to be announcing very soon here on the show. So look forward to that. I tried to tell him, can you just tell me between the two of us? And he was not buying
Apparently
he's seen our show.
He might know that we have big mouths. So.
We overshare sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? That's what we're all about. We're here to share. Jarita said, I'm here, not a decorator, but love your wisdom. So,
very nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Jarita. We appreciate you joining us. And you don't need to be a decorator to be a regulator. You're a regulator too. We love it.
So, you know, Aaron, last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about, you know, what's happening in the industry during the pandemic. And the show was really about what's going to happen after. But I mentioned to you before we came on the air this morning that, you know, I was out running this morning and I noticed that the Arby's on the corner was not only closed, but the signage was off the building. And it just kind of made me think about our conversation from 2 weeks ago where we said, if your business is marginal, you know, you were coasting, you know, I think that people are going to be falling out the marginal companies. And I think there are also companies that are, I don't know if taking advantage of the situation is the proper way to say it, but taking a look at, you know, maybe that Arby's was the low store in their group and taking the opportunity to, you know what, let's just close that down. And I think that people are doing that. I think that they are saying, you know, maybe we are overstaffed in this department or that department, you know, and hopefully you're not letting people go for that reason during this, because there's not a lot of places for people to go to. But I think that that there's a lot of reevaluation going on with companies, and maybe it's not personnel, maybe it's product lines, or, you know, taking a look and say, you know, we don't really make money when we decorate this product and sell it, you know, but it's been in the catalog for the last 5 years. Well, you know what? Maybe it's coming out of the catalog. This is an excellent opportunity for people. And this is something I've talked about on the show before, is be your own consultant. You don't have to pay me or pay Aaron or pay Eric to come into your shop for a lot of the things that you can change.
But you can. Dramatic.
You certainly can.
Sorry.
But you know, a lot of things, it's just a matter of you walking around your own shop and thinking about your production process and reviewing the products that you have been selling and things like that, reviewing the way you do things, because, you know, just because you started doing the process a certain way 10 years ago doesn't mean that that's still the best way today. And it's hard to make change, but you know what, the world's changing around us. So maybe this is the opportunity to go out and do that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. When you say that about, you know, not that just because it's the way you've always done it, that always reminds me of my favorite poster that I hung up on the wall when I went and started at Coastal Business Supplies, was a picture of a guy in the running. I've told this story probably hundreds of times. I'm starting to turn into Terry here, but
but yours don't get more flair to them like mine.
I know. I need to work on that. But I think it's hilarious, because that was it, you know. And that was back then. So put up a sign. It was a guy getting gored in the running of the bulls in Spain. And underneath it says, just because this is the way you've always done it doesn't mean it's not incredibly stupid. So, you know, that was always like, well, that's just how we do it. Okay, well, that's stupid. So, yes, I think it is interesting, though, Terry, because, you know, like you said, if people are getting laid off and stuff like that, there's not. But at the flip side of it, you know, there are some businesses that are still open. You know, I mean, my friends over at Pick the Gift are a good example of this. And because of the restrictions, you know, they can't hire people. They need many, many people. And, you know, so it's just, once these things start lifting, though, you know, I think there is going to be a bit of a, you know, what you're doing right now is very telling. I've heard stories about people that are basically competing with unemployment which seems a little crazy to me that, you know, somebody that could potentially have a job is choosing to not have a job. And again, if it's a health concern or something like that, that makes 100% sense. But there are some people that are just taking a vacation for free, you know, and that's, I don't know. But that's gonna, you know, that might feel good right now, but down the road, again, I'm not making any judgment about if there is an actual health concern, absolutely. And people should be working together. And this should be a time of more partnership between employee and employer. But if you're just taking advantage of the situation, either side, like you said, Terry, if you're taking advantage of the situation and just getting rid of people because you can now and call it a COVID thing, or if you're taking a vacation because, you know, the whole thing's got to be reassessed. So I think there is going to be a lot of shakeup. And that's what we really want to talk about here is all of the shakeup that's going to be kind of happening and how we can best plan and be ready to thrive as this thing starts to lift. I know for us here in Missouri, we don't know for sure, but all of the indication right now is that they plan on lifting the stay in place around May 4th. Shelter in place is supposed to be up on May 3rd at midnight. So, and a lot of people are kind of saying that they think that that's actually going to stay, that they aren't going to extend it. So we'll see. But I know other places have extended it through the end of May. So,
right. Well, you know, Aaron, I don't know if I believe that or not. You're going to have to show me because, you know, Missouri is
the show me state. Well, we'll show you on May 4th, apparently.
You know, Aaron, and another side note here, which is why we didn't go through this last time.
Because we haven't even started on the outline yet.
But it's only 8:20 here. But, you know, a lot of people are taking advantage of this time in education-wise. And, you know, at Equipment Zone, we, you know, have some time on our hands. So we've started doing webinars, 2 to 3 webinars a week. Under the guidance of Jay Bissell, a lot of folks know Jay as a regular guest here on the show. So mm-hmm. Jay's put together all these webinars, and yesterday was one on just on pre-treating shirts for direct-to-garment printing. Well, you know, there's 100 seats in a Zoom meeting, and every seat was full with people waiting to get in. So that's people who are saying, you know what, I'm down right now, but I'm going to spend this time educating myself for when this fires back up again. So kudos to all those folks out there who are taking advantage of the education opportunities that are out there. And a lot of folks are doing webinars and Zoom meetings and things like that right now. So if you're not real busy, you know, check those out and use the time. We, you know, we did a couple of webinars on just basically how to survive in this time and talking about marketing ideas for when you're in a shelter situation. And gosh, the number of views and people going back and watching on YouTube has been tremendous. So, you know, it's as I said, kudos to all those people who are out there who are trying to use this time to better themselves and better their businesses.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're actually getting ready over at our success group to kick off our 5-part series on planning for success, business planning. And, you know, it a lot of excitement around that because, again, yeah, this is the time to really kind of solidify things. A little bit earlier, Marshall had a comment that was from Mark Coudray saying that Mark was talking the other day about how 40 to 60% of small businesses will not make it through this pandemic event. Some businesses just weren't sound to begin with, and this just accelerates the problem. And that's, you know, but so now's the time to get sound. Brian commented an upside sort of with all the unemployment, all of a sudden there might be an opportunity to help some people and pick up talent you need, be on the lookout for quality people who won't be able to return to their last employment. That's it. And even if they might be able to return to their last employment, you know, this kind of gives them that thought to like, you know, maybe my other employer didn't really take care of me and I need to be looking for a better place to be. And, you know, if you're making your company the better place to be, there will be lots of opportunity for you. You know, the companies that are coming in to understanding that their people are the most important part of their business, you know, and it's not just a use turn them and burn them type thing, are going to have a lot of opportunity to pick up a lot of talent. Honestly, from somebody that's hired in the past, I want to hire somebody that's already has a job, not because I want to steal them away from the other company, but because they're employable. You know, the people that sometimes don't have jobs, there might be a reason that you might not figure out about until, you know, a few months in. So true enough. let's see here. What were some of the other comments here, Terry? So we can actually get started. okay. Let's see here. Boom, boom, boom. Back up. Christine says, I think a lot of people are reevaluating their circumstances too. Things that what's been happening recently really point out pain points in people's lives. So I'd guess many people are doing some self-examination and figuring out what they want right now. So boom, boom, boom. Okay. Oh, yep. And Todd does have a good point here that this is something to consider. One of the big issues with returning to work now is that at least here in Missouri, and I know in Illinois, a lot of places have schools out, schools done for the year. Kids are not going back. And so, you know, if all of a sudden in Missouri, they do say, okay, May 4th, the shelter in place is over. Everybody can go back to work now. Well, we've got a bunch of kids here that were supposed to be homeschooling. How do you homeschool when you're at work?
Right. I guess some people will be taking their kids to work with them, you know?
Yeah. And Marshall says, you know, how do people handle that over summer? Not much different. Well, yes and no, because you plan for the summer part and you have, you know, you get that together and you have that expense that you're planning on paying for, you know, summer care programs. And now if you've got to extend that summer care program an extra month or two, and you don't have the funds for that, that makes it a little bit of a challenge. So, I see both sides for sure. So,
of course, in Arizona, we're coming into schools end in Arizona mid May anyway. So I guess we're up against when school would normally be out. But
gotcha.
You know, but they've also been closed for some time. So
yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Okay. Brian says, I really think most of the shutdowns are due to actual loss of revenue. There may be a reason for some cynicism about certain employees, but honestly, if something shuts down, it wasn't long for the world in good economic times. So, and I think that's kind of the point that you were making about the Arby's story. If you're marginal and you're, you know, then this, Mark said, this kind of accelerates the whole thing. So.
Right. You lose 10-20% or more of your revenue. That's what was keeping you just above water, you know? And so it doesn't take much.
Yep, for sure. Lenny has a good point here. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't be touching things, Eric. My bad.
Stop touching the buttons.
Don't touch the buttons. I'm going to put my hands behind my back. Lenny says, I think people are scared to drop kids off as well. The parents I've talked to are really freaked out. Not all, but some. Yeah, certainly. All right. So should we go ahead and start? It's, you know, halfway through the, oh, wait a second. Hold on. One more. Dot Tone Dan. When I was back at Disney, part of their preparation in business for downturns were to do run throughs of economic downturn situations. How do you handle that? How do we prepare? Management look at what they would do in each department and estimate the savings. Is that cutting people in different areas, changing process, et cetera? At the end of this exercise, you then evaluate those areas of business and determine, do you really need that area now? Events like this COVID-19 stretch us. So
that's excellent. And unfortunately, you know, everybody's thinking that right now, but 5 years from now, this will be so far in the rearview mirror life is good again and it will never turn bad. Well, yeah. Anybody who was around in 2007, 2008 knows that, you know, these downturns can happen and catch you by surprise. So,
yep.
You know, good to be prepared.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's been, you know, several things that happen. So, all right, Terry, well, let's finally start part two here. So, let's see here. Oh, shoot. Another comment. No, let's do it. I want the comment, actually. We're here for the regulators. So if this becomes part three, it becomes part three. James says, nurse wife. So my IT job allows me to work from home anyways. I'm kind of lucky in that respect. Can watch the kids and work from home. Certainly. Yeah. You know, a lot of people figure it out and you work out the situations. But, you know, not everybody has that. So we have to, I don't know. I read something interesting the other day where, you know, where people were saying, oh, we're all in the same boat. Well, we're not in the same boat. We're all in the same storm. We have different boats that we're in. And right. Some of our boats are a little tighter than others. And we need to help those that have leaky boats. So, okay.
Yeah. And I've been working from home for, you know, years. So yeah. It's just another day for me.
Yeah. Just another day in the zombie apocalypse for Terry. He's ready.
Exactly.
All right. Well, since Terry, you've been so prepared for the zombie apocalypse because of your love for the Walking Dead series. Yes. It's finally gotten you somewhere, Terry. what does the world look like when the sun rises and we're as back to normal as we're going to be? What is the new normal?
I think that a lot of companies are going to be doing business differently than what they were doing before this happened. And for instance, I think maybe face-to-face meetings are going to become less common, you know, a less common way for people to do business where, you know, I know when I was an active screen printer, I would have the folks from NASDAR, the folks from Seracol, other Midwest, all these guys they'd come and call on me, you know, at least once a month. And stop by and say, hey, do you need this? Here's a new ink. Here's new this. Here's new that to try. Here's some new emulsion. Can we come in and do a live demo for your crew on this product? And I think some of that might go away. And I think we're also in a situation where we're more prepared for that kind of thing today with technology. You know, it's so easy. Well, for instance, at Equipment Zone, you know, Equipment Zone goes out to every customer location and trains the person who buys a DTG printer. Well, obviously you can't do that right now. So it's forced the company to really get set up to do an online training, a one-on-one training with a customer where the tech is standing in front of an F2100, the customer standing in front of their F2100, pulling up on the screen, the software, how to use it and getting pretty darn good at it to the point where, you know, maybe that will be the future. Maybe that's going to be the way that at least Equipment Zone's going to train people in the future, because it's gotten to the point now where the techs are doing it just as naturally as when they pull up in a rental car in front of your business and walk in and train you. So, you know, I think things like that are probably in our future. You know, Aaron, you and I and Eric have been talking about what a great education opportunity is for people like us, where, you know, we're not being able to go out and do trainings and seminars and things like that live. So we're doing them, you know, like the DAC seminars, Aaron, that you put together for Scott and Margie that you're kind of emceeing and helping people get because, you know, it's you know, it's easy to say, hey, I'm going to do online training. It's harder when you sit down and say, okay, well, how do I do that? So with you facilitating that for DAX, it was really easy to go in and share the content, because you're doing all the button pushing and and keeping an eye on the clock, grabbing the questions from viewers and that sort of thing. So I think there's going to be more of that type of thing. And hey, do I miss the travel a little bit? Just a little bit right now. Sure. Since our friends at American Airlines have rolled our flight status over in through the end of next year, I'm not as concerned about missing all these flights. I like my status, you know?
Yeah, I know. I can tell.
but anyway, I think that's going to be part of it well, you know, and I'll give you another example. You know, if the management or owner of your company is pretty old school, the idea of working from home is very foreign to them. And I think by forcing people to do it and by forcing management to look at it, they're probably saying, you know what, this works way better than I thought it was going to. And then you start thinking, do I need 12 office spaces, you know, for these folks to come back to? Or do I, you know, have Zoom meetings with everybody every morning or once a week, and everybody work from home. I think, and you know, you have to be the right person to be able to work from home, because some people just can't handle the distraction of it. But you know, you got to get up in the morning, take a shower, go to work, and that's probably the trick of it. Probably should get out of your pajamas.
That's funny that you mentioned that. I actually wrote a blog about that back when. So I don't know if you remember this, Terry, but when we were with US Screen, and this was kind of at the end of it, and I'm not sure if you were still there at that point or not, but I was kind of quote unquote, you know, I'd left, I went to Boston, and you know, kind of moved on, and then things were quote unquote changing. So I was actually working from home for a little bit from Boston, and I had never done that before. You know, I had always been in the office type guy, and and at first, like you said, it was hard, you know. from both ends, from distractions, or you know, it interfering with my normal life too. And so I figured, okay, I'll write a blog post about this because I need to figure this out. And it really was that. It was that that kind of going into the office, opening up, putting your open sign on, like I said, take a shower. You know, you don't have to get dressed up in a suit, but you know, you should put something on that you would be comfortable wearing into work as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, pants, things like that.
and you know, and you take your lunch break, you take your half hour or hour, and then you come back and clock back in. And you know, I know that and a lot of people don't do this, but I check in with everybody in the office when I log in the morning. I say good morning to every single person, just like I would if I was walking into the office, and that way people know I'm there and I'm ready to work and available. And when I go to lunch, I let everybody in the office know, hey, I'm going to lunch. I'll be back in an hour, and you know, the same deal. And I think that's an important part of it as well. And you know, it's with your family, you just have to tell them, you know, hey, I'm working right now. And I've had in the past, I'll have a buddy that would just stop by my place. This is the guy that would come up. He didn't knock. He'd just walk in the door, go to the refrigerator, get a beer, come down, sit down on the couch and say, hey, what's going on?
And that wasn't me, by the way.
Okay, it wasn't Aaron. And so this guy, I mean, he would be he'd come in and they say, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm writing an article. Oh, so you're not working. Yeah, yeah. I am. This is what I do. This is my work, man. Apparently you're off today though. I see that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because to him, you know, working was going to an office somewhere and doing something. So,
well, this guy's a tennis pro. And so if he wasn't on the tennis court teaching, he was at my house drinking my beer.
Nice, man. I like this guy. How have I not met him yet? All right. Let's go back and catch some of the comments. We're going to jump all over the place, talk about some things that we talked about that Terry's already talked about before. So Eric, see if do your best, buddy. I'm sorry. let's see here. I want to go back to Christine's comment from about 10:31. She says, I think it's important to keep in mind that everyone has their own circumstances. Some people are making judgments about what they see in other people's lives, but you never know the whole story. We all need to remember that. I think that's a huge point to make. And I love that. And I love that Christine's sharing that. For me, I try to be as non-judgmental as I can about all this stuff. I don't always succeed. I will be honest with everybody about that. But that's something I'm working on really heavily. But for me, it's not necessarily about judgment. For me, I just always wanted to push people to be the best version of themselves. And, you know, so sometimes I look at people and I go, okay, is this really the best thing that you can be doing for yourself right now?
You're talking about me, aren't you?
Terry. I've been meaning to have this conversation.
Is this an intervention?
I wasn't sure when the right time was going to be, Terry, but this feels right. No.
Social distancing intervention.
Yeah, exactly. No, I do agree 100% with Christine that we don't know the whole story. So, you know, maybe that person that's hoarding toilet paper, there's a reason for that. You know, maybe they've got 27 kids like Todd does and you know, they're going through the toilet paper. But again, let's also, you know, work together, be compassionate. Let's see here. Lenny says, I totally agree. It's really time to be kind and as non-judgmental as possible. Yeah, we are all in this together. We're all in the same storm. So let's all get out the other side together, and we will always be stronger. I know that we talk about this a lot. It's why I love hanging out with Eric and Terry, and because that's what we all want. We all want what's best for everybody. We have that abundance mentality, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to be surrounded by a group of people like that. So let's see here. When Terry, when you were talking about the training on the F2000s, Marion said that type of training is also more cost effective. F2100s, right? Is that what it is nowadays?
Yeah, exactly.
which, you know, I think that's a good point too. When you talk about working from home and you talk about the training and virtual meetings and things like that, that is going to be a difference in cost. You know, companies might not need the massive overhead of a building anymore. I know a lot of newer companies, especially in the tech world and stuff like that, before all this happened, were really embracing the work from home model because they didn't have to have that investment into all the infrastructure of having a building and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously when you're producing something, you got to have people in there producing something, but you know, can the rest of the staff work remotely and you can, you know, really focus your area just on the production side of things?
Yeah. And, you know, as I was saying before with Zoom meetings and things like that, it's so easy to just get everybody together in, you know, one screen and have a conversation without, you know, again, everybody going into the office. And I mean, you know, early on after, you know, I used to live in New Jersey working for Equipment Zone and just one day decided I needed to live in Arizona again. And and it wasn't
an easy. I don't know why.
I actually lived through Hurricane Sandy there. And then the next winter, it just snowed every week. Every week it snowed. And I'm like, okay, I'm done.
I remember that. You would send me pictures all the time of here's New Jersey again today. And I could just feel it. I could just sense it like, wow, Terry is not really enjoying it there.
Well, like one day it snowed a foot. And then it iced over and then it snowed another 18 inches on top. And I was like, what? People live here on purpose? but it was a tough decision for the folks at Equipment Zone to say, well, okay, why don't, you know, you're going back to Arizona anyway, we don't want to lose you. So, you know, work from home. And I think it took a little while for people to get used to it. Well, now there are 5 people who work from a home situation and based on the fact that, well, you know, that actually worked.
Yeah.
And we don't have to have the office space. And guess what? When there's a snowstorm, Terry's still working. You know, the other folks who are working from home are still working as opposed to, you know, when the streets were closed in New Jersey because nobody could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Or there were, you know, 47 trees blocking your street like during Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah. No, it's good. And you know, that working from home thing for you guys happened before the COVID situation, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I think the other point, though, to point out there, though, Terry, is, you know, you were able to drive that, but you were able to drive that and be able to do that because you brought enough value to them that it was worth making that change.
Right.
You know, taking the chance. You can't just go out there and say, well, you have to let me work from home. And then if they say no, go, you know, you got to take responsibility for yourself. Are you providing enough value to them that makes sense? Marshall has a comment here. One problem with working from home is that most business owners don't trust their staff. To them, it's about the time they have been working and not the productivity. What's getting accomplished? Spend less time worrying about workers being 9 to 5 and more about the results. And so, you know, it is that balancing act is, you know, when Terry's working from home, they're getting the value out of Terry because they trust him and he brings that value. You know, if you are working from home, quote unquote, and that means you're spending all day watching Netflix and, you know, then you got to kind of, you know, what are you doing to,
well, you know, and Aaron, for me, because, you know, before all this happened, I would go to the office in New Jersey 2, 3, 4 times a year. And I love seeing everybody, but I couldn't get a darn thing done because in an office situation, you know, you got to talk about the football game last night and this and that and the other thing. And it's like, well, I'm thinking, man, if I was at home right now, I'd be through this list of calls I need to make. And but, well, you know, and I'll give you another example. I had somebody that worked for me as an artist in Kansas City, and she had her baby and said, yeah, I want to come back. And the first day back, she's in my office in tears going, I can't do this. And I said, well, you know what? Let's do this. Let's try you doing artwork from home. And what ended up happening, and because I'd be at my office, and then I'd hear the film printer kick on because she was remotely sending separations.
Yep.
And to the point where she goes, listen, I know we agreed on this number of pieces of artwork. I'm getting that done in like 3 hours, so I can do more. And it was, I think, because there weren't, you know, well, 75 production floor employees, there was always somebody in the art department asking a question, and she didn't have those interruptions anymore. And she was producing so much artwork that it became a thing where at that company, we had a couple of artists who just did work from home. She'd come in once a week and for a meeting to pick things up and that sort of thing. But it worked out beautifully. And it was one of those situations where I was going to lose a really good employee because she just could not bring herself to not be home with her baby.
Yeah.
And we were forced into it, and it was a huge success. So.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a good point. Marion says, my husband works from home a lot, now mandated by his employer. I swear he works longer hours at home. And I found myself doing that too, because yeah, you can just like, you know, something pops up on your phone and it's 6 o'clock at night and I go take care of that really quick instead of, you know, waiting till the next morning or something like that. So it is up to the person working at home to make sure that they're setting their boundaries and setting expectations. So,
well, and you know, Aaron, along those lines too, you also have to be able to walk away from work, you know, and yeah. So be set up where that's
and I'm not
work
good at
over
that.
There. Yeah. But work's over there. And at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever, walk away from it and try to not be checking your emails all, you know, half the night and things like that, because, you know, for a healthy life, you need some balance and it's easy if you are working from home to work too much, just like the regulators are commenting here.
Yeah, exactly. Brian says, get up. Shower, shave, please shave. You look awful with that lazy man's beard. Notice Aaron and Terry look good now. When I read that, though, the first thing I was thinking about is like, wait a second. Oh, okay. Fortunately, it's dark enough in here. I missed this morning, so I don't grow a facial hair fast enough that I have.
Well,
to
you're blonde hair too, time. So yeah,
it helps. But Brian, I'm not bad. I've had a couple of times where that lazy man's beard happens, so. I'll step it up. Thank you for the reminder. All right. Wonderful comments from all of the regulators. You guys are awesome. Todd says, I'm sure work at home smokers are getting more done now too. Got to be an extra hour's worth at least. yeah. Terry, remember back when you and I were at US Screen together, Terry instituted cookie breaks for us because we felt like at a certain point we were the only two that didn't smoke. Well,
yeah.
There was a few others, and we got all the other non-smokers together. And, you know, so when everybody else was outside smoking, we said, okay, well, we're taking a cookie break.
we go outside and have cookies. That's right. It's like, well, you know, you get to the point where it starts to make you mad. You know, it's like, really? Are you really getting up from your desk for like the fourth time this morning? You're going to stand outside for 5 minutes? Well, yeah. My gosh. I've got cookies, guys. Let's go. Stop what you're doing. Well, then, of course, every Friday, Scott Fresner would walk by with his humidor and nod towards the back door, and we'd go out and smoke a cigar on Friday afternoon. We called it the Finer Things Club.
Yeah.
from the office.
Yeah, totally. that part always drove me nuts too, because I didn't smoke cigars. And then, you know, Terry and I were probably the only people there that didn't play in a band either. And there was definitely a lot of band practice going on. So there were plenty of times where I'm like, Terry, we're the only everybody? Ones doing anything here.
Where is everybody? I almost bought a tambourine, but
yeah, exactly. Jeff says the remote work model also exposes people that are unproductive. Managers can be more readily find dead weight. Good stuff there. And Marion says her husband got a promotion and raise while working at home. So
wow.
it exposes both sides. You know, it's like, wow, okay. Yeah, you get rid of some of those at work distractions. I can't remember where I saw that comment at in there. It's definitely one of those things where both sides, you know, exposes dead weight, and it also exposes the people that are real productive. There we go. James said this: more work, less work distractions. So let's see here. Todd says it's hard not checking emails when Aaron sends 40 between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. I can't confirm that is true. Terry and Eric also get the same treatment. So sorry, guys. let's see here. Dan Campbell, Dot Tone Dan says too many interruptions when working in the office. Terry pops in 20 times a day. Hey, you got that art done? Let me look at it. Make changes 30 minutes later, another change. Get out, Terry.
Thanks, Dan.
I didn't know Dan was there when that was going on. All right. Our good friend Jesse Martinez. What up, boys? What up, Jesse? Good to see you. All right, Terry. Well, let's keep going. I can definitely see a round three coming here. So,
well, you know, I wanted to jump ahead to one of the points that either you or Eric had put into the notes about scavenging, and I think maybe Eric put this
yes.
in, but
yes.
He's talking about shops are probably closing, and there might be a glut used equipment in the channel, and also unserved or underserved customers out there that are going to be available, because guess what? Those customers are going to be back. They're going to be looking to buy product. And I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. I think that there's going to be a flurry of business that people are going to be inundated with, because, you know, somebody that wanted product for their store or whatever for resale. Well, all those people are probably low on inventory at this point in time, and everybody's going to want it right now today. So, but yeah, I think Eric is exactly correct. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for new business. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for equipment, and chances are, if somebody went out of business during this, that equipment probably isn't very well used either.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point for sure. And you talked about, you know, the fact that there is going to be unserved or underserved customers out there. Yeah, think about this. I mean, the business is not going away. It may be kind of slightly on hold, and maybe some of like the sports and stuff like that. But again, they're all trying to get creative. I know, for example, over at Pick the Gift, the amount of orders coming into their personalized gift market, you know, because people aren't going to be having the Mother's Day celebrations. They're not going to be having the same kinds of graduation opportunities and stuff like that. I mean, they're printing garden flags as fast as they can make them. The order volumes about what it is in the fourth quarter holiday season right now, you know, so the business is out there, and it takes people getting creative to find it. A good example of this was the fact that companies like Pick the Gift, or we've talked about Print and Mint and things like that. I think their businesses really boomed after Colorado Timberline went out of business.
Right. Exactly. Right.
All of that business didn't just go away. You know, Colorado Timberline went out of business, and all of their customers were like, okay, well, I guess we're done. No, they went out there looking for other places to go. Right. You know, that was, I don't know what the exact number was, but the rumors I heard was that was $80 to $90 million worth of personalized products, decorated products that, people were out looking for, you know, so all that stuff's still out there. And again, this is the opportunity to be widening your net, doing more kind of, I think long time ago up in the comments, Marshall said, lead with empathy. You know, think about what your partners, your customers are going through right now. And, you know, when you make that, look at that guy, Eric, that was like a long time ago and he found it. So when we talk about that though, you know, you should be making that quote unquote sales call right now as I'm just checking in on you. You're not talking about your products. You're not trying to sell them anything. In fact, you should probably avoid it. Even if they start to kind of bring it up, just keep turning it back on them. You know, what's going on with you guys? What's going on with your business right now? Is there anything we can do to support you? But, you know, just in general, what, and having those conversations with them will strengthen that relationship. So like I said, Terry, when this lifts and everything blows up, they're going to remember the person that, that called to check on them.
Sure. So. And you know, Aaron, when you talk about that business being there, maybe that little competitor down the street didn't have that much business, but that, that little bit of business they had, it's again, has to go somewhere. And so the potential of you increasing your sales by 10, 20, 25% is probably very, very real. Yep. Over what you did last year, just picking up the bits and pieces of the broken pieces of orders that are floating around out there.
Yeah, for sure. Eric says in embroidery, we're also seeing smaller shops moving into home-based business. The third bedroom squad that moved into commercial spaces are rolling back and running hard. Yeah. So it's all a matter of what you want to do with it. You know, it's up to you. You can choose to just wallow in the despair and go, ah, woe is me, and this COVID thing sucks, and the sky is falling. Or the people that I'm seeing out there that are going, you know what? I want to go out and figure out how I can help, how I can support, how I can do things for others. They're busier than they've ever been. So, you know, I get that it's not that black and white, but I certainly want to encourage everybody to understand that there is plenty of opportunity here too. So
exactly.
Let's see here, a couple more comments, and then yeah, we've got plenty for part three, Terry. We could just keep talking about this for weeks on end.
Till it's over.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Brian says, please don't forget to solicit essential businesses who have been running, get their orders as their needs have been accumulating while you and your competition have been down. Don't wait for the return to work notice. Contact potential customers now. Marion says, and those businesses that are set up for online orders will be far ahead.
Correct.
And from Jesus, Jesse Martinez, great time to learn new products. Agreed.
Exactly.
All right, Terry. Well, I know we missed plenty, but anything we want to do to wrap this up? And then, like I said, we can come back for a part three at some point.
Yeah, I do have a what I think is an interesting comment. One of the manufacturers was talking to the folks at Equipment Zone about getting in 50,000 masks, and Equipment Zone said, hey, can you send us a couple? We've got some ideas about some things we want our tech guys to be experimenting with. And they said, oh, they're all gone. We got them in like this past week, 50,000 of them. We sold them all. We don't have any to send you.
Yeah.
But holy cow, there's some people making some money. Well, I don't know. I'm sure everybody's just like me, that every time you go online, any social media, then you'll see, well, for me, I get all the Kansas City Chiefs masks pop up on my threads, and I'm sure everybody's getting the same kind of thing. So
yeah, it's a new product, and we'll see. It'll be interesting to see. You know, there is some, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out the exact right word, consternation maybe might be over, because you know the challenge is that, like I said, these masks are going as fast as people can get them in, and a lot of times the minimum order amount's pretty high. And, you know, and the lead times, like, you know, so if you were to go order some masks from a company right now, there's a couple of them out there that I know of that you can order masks, but they're 3 to 4 weeks out and the minimum's pretty high. And, right. And then, you know, who knows what's going to, will America embrace masks? You know, masks have been the norm over in places like Japan and sure. Asia for a long time, but they've never been something that's taken off here. So does this change things? I don't know. It's tough because
I think that there will be a certain number of people you'll see at the grocery store, at the hardware store, wearing masks for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't own a mask, but you know,
Yeah. I get it. And, you know, I have a mask, and when I've been out, I've worn it, and it is different. It is weird. And it, you know, like, where was I at? I can't. Anyhow, it doesn't really matter where I was at, but I walked in with my mask and all the employees and stuff were there. No mask on. None of them had masks on. And, and it was just kind of like, and it was weird. I actually felt weird. I felt out of place. I actually had the inclination to take my mask off so I would fit in, but I said, nope. This is bigger than this. And
did you pass a note to the teller and say, fill this bag?
Well, that's the other part that you worry about, you know. Todd was wearing a mask the other day on one of the videos that we did, and he had his hat on and he put his glasses on. I'm like, yeah, somebody commented that, you know, you should be robbing a train right now. you know, so there's that. So we can get into all that conversation, you know, that when this is all over, what happens with shaking hands, you know, like, for example, in Japan, they haven't been as hard hit because, again, masks have been the norm. They don't shake hands, you know. I mean, now personal space is a different deal over there. So maybe they're going to have to change some of that. Yeah. So when the next time I see you guys, it's going to be hard because I enjoy shaking hands and going into the hug, you know? So do we shake hands or do we just kind of go, hey, how's it going, Terry?
Maybe a little fist bump.
Yeah. Let me go wash my hands real quick, you know? anyhow. All right. Well, so we've got plenty more to talk about, but let's talk about a couple of events coming up here. Let's talk about what Eric has happening first here. His Demystifying Next Level Digitizing webinar is now available in recorded format. Eric put that on. It was wonderful. It was really awesome to watch him present with such passion and vigor. I mean, it ended up being close to 4 hours. And I am not an embroidery person. I know very little about it. But after that class and all of the things I've been doing with Dax, I feel like I could go out and actually, no, I couldn't, but I know a lot more about it now than I ever did. And it's really cool. So, anyhow, this was one of Eric's most popular classes from the trade show floor. He talks about better running, bolder, more beautiful embroidery with a faster cycle from concept to completion. So you can sign up for that over at bit.ly/EricDD. And that's E-R-I-C-H-D-D, EricDD. So, and then let's see here. He's got another virtual seminar coming up on May 2nd. So when we're doing our cocktail party, he will be the guy going, but I've got a seminar tomorrow.
we've heard it before, Eric. Just give up, man.
I can't do that.
We'll wear you down.
Yeah. Anyhow, you could check that out. Go over to go and visit daxshow.com. And if you go to Treasure Island and seminars, you can sign up for all of that. Eric's teaching about specialty threads and debating digitizing. So I think we already... Do we cover specialty threads? Thank you, Eric. Yes. We covered specialty threads and that's there, but debating digitizing is coming up on May 2nd. And then also join Eric on his show today at 2:30 Mountain Time called The Take Up. I believe this is, from what I read, this is the 13th episode. So pretty soon, Terry, he's going to be too big for us. I'll have to get used to hitting the buttons again. He's shaking his head now. We love you, Eric. We love what you're doing over there. So definitely check that out. 2:30 Mountain Time today. That will be happening.
I do want to let the New Mexico State Police know that Eric is at work right now because he was having internet issues at home. Oh, so, man.
Wow. You know,
that
Eric, that is all Terry. I do not condone his actions. Okay. But as far as his take up, you go make sure you check it out over at facebook.com/embroideryeric. And that's again, E-R-I-C-H. So, all right, Terry, what about you? What do you got coming up here, sir?
I have my scheduling and estimated production time for screen printers, 4-part series. It's going to start on May 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's going to be every Tuesday in May. You can find that at decorators.education/SEPT, not September, but scheduling and estimated production time.
And it seems so good when I was putting it together.
So far on my schedule, Saturday, May 23rd, I'll be presenting on being a great screen printer at the Dax Minnesota show. I've already recorded it with Dax that Aaron and I did on April 15th. I have screen printing classes upcoming, my complete screen printing business course at Workhorse Products in Phoenix. Right now, scheduled for June 6th and 7th, Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago, June 27th and 28th, and all my upcoming 2020 classes and events. You can find it at terrycombs.com under tour dates and ever-changing, Aaron.
Yeah, Terry's big book of not travel is continuing to get things erased.
A lot of erasing, yeah. That's why I use a pencil.
Nice, very nice. All right, well, that sounds good. Now, real quick on your comment about Eric and him being in the office, his boss, Brian, said, but he's the only one in the office. So that's probably safer than being other places. So
I hear sirens, though, coming from.
And E-Rich is a true gangster, according to Todd. Batman, as we like to call him. All right. So for me, our success group is what I've been working on right now and real excited about being able to offer these training opportunities. So if you go over to oursuccessgroup.com, you become a member, you can sign up for the different training opportunities there. We've actually extended our introductory offers out. We decided that we would extend our introductory offers until the last shelter in place order has been lifted. So who knows when that will be. But don't miss it. As soon as that last one's up, we'll remove those introductory offers over there. Also, we're getting ready to launch our next five keys that I mentioned. That's starting April 29th, and it will be determining your why is where we'll start, but we're talking about business planning. And so if you use the coupon code DC, you can get 25% off any of our five keys training. So if you just go over to oursuccessgroup.com/five keys, and you can check that out and save 25% off of those. And I think that's it. I've got a few more of the DAX virtual seminars coming up here next week. And then we'll be wrapping that up. That has been a wonderful experience. I appreciate everybody working so hard and getting out of their comfort zone. Everybody's event has been wonderful so far. So excited for that. And I think that's about it, Terry. We've got trade shows on the list, but I think we can hold those for now because we don't know what's going on. But
always in flux.
Always in flux, yes. But anyhow, I think we've done it, Terry. We're a little bit into bonus time here. So we've come to the close of another show. I want to thank everybody that joined in the live broadcast today. If you're listening to the podcast version, do yourself a favor and try to catch one of the live versions on Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time. The regulators, you guys that are commenting, you guys that are participating here are awesome. So we appreciate everything you guys do to keep making this program a lot of fun each and every week. And thanks also to my co-host, Terry, here for making it fun as well.
you as well, Aaron. And we also want to thank our show producer, Eric Campbell, and you can find him at ericcampbell.com. And thanks to our sponsor, Impressions Expo.
Indeed. Next week, Terry, we are still efforting. So it could be part three. It could be something else. So stay tuned. We're going to try to get that locked down here over the next couple of days. All right. So stay tuned. We'll be back one way or another.
All right. Until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
We are the two regular guys.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.